Hello and welcome. When I first started training therapists to treat phone addiction, I kept hitting the same wall. Most clients made steady progress, and then a subset stalled, relapsed hard, or slid into crisis so quietly we almost missed it. What I wanted was a clear, practical roadmap for when to escalate to specialized care. Real clients, real risks. Here's the truth. Phone addiction isn't just a bad habit. You wouldn't fight a house fire with a candle snuffer. Some cases need more structure, accountability, and expertise than standard therapy can deliver. Look around a college campus. Out of 5 students, about 3 struggle with problematic phone use. Roughly 1 may be severe, and the safety stakes are real. Phone use behind the wheel is tied to about 1.5 million crashes a year in the U.S. That's not a habit problem. That's life or death. Let's ground this with a client. Call her Jordan. Smart, funny, stuck. We set boundaries. Made plans, tracked usage. She improved it for a week or two. Then, late night scrolling, missed classes, panic, shame. Then a near-miss car incident after a notification. That's when it clicked. This wasn't about trying harder. It was about leveling up the care. Specialized treatment just means care built for digital addiction. A spectrum. Outpatient therapists with training in compulsive tech use. Often with groups. Intensive programs a few hours a day, several days a week. Adding skills, measurement, and family support. Residential care when safety or environment sinks every good plan. If danger is imminent, self-harm, violent behavior, medical crisis from sleep loss, stabilize first, then step down. It's not about labels. It's about matching care intensity to risk. How do you decide when to escalate? Use stepped care. Start with the least restrictive, likely to work, monitor objectively, escalate if markers don't move. The therapists who succeed set this expectation up front. We'll give this 8 to 10 weeks. If we're not seeing meaningful progress, we'll step up, not as punishment, as precision care. That sentence removes shame and keeps trust intact. What counts as meaningful progress? Start with logs, not opinions. Pull 14 days of actual phone data, screen time, or digital well-being. Pick 1 or 2 target harms: late-night TikTok, messaging during commute, gambling, pornography. Define what change would matter. Reliable reduction in problem apps, steady sleep, fewer missed responsibilities, fewer high-risk moments. Numbers only matter because they reflect real life. If the spreadsheet looks great, but your client is nodding off at work, you're not done. When do I say we need more support? First, safety, non-negotiable. Phone use while driving, biking, operating machinery, especially with near misses, means escalate. Sleep collapsing to 3 or 4 hours night after night, with fainting, dozing in class, or medical issues, this is a system failure needing structure. Consuming or posting self-harm content, searching for ways to die, or alarming messages, safety first. In the U.S., 988 is immediate crisis support. Sextortion, sexual exploitation, or illegal content, especially involving minors. Loop in authorities. Cyberbullying, driving panic, school refusal. Or trauma symptoms? This isn't just phone use, it's trauma. You need specialized care with family and school coordination. Adopt one simple habit: a safety check every high-risk session. Ask plainly, in the past week, did your phone use put you or anyone else in danger? How many hours did you sleep the last 3 nights? Have you seen or searched for content that made you worry about your safety? Has anyone online threatened, coerced, or blackmailed you? 60 seconds. Months of clarity. Beyond safety, escalate when the basics aren't moving despite a real try. If after 8 to 10 weeks of structured outpatient work, urge surfing, mapped triggers, tech-free blocks, stabilized sleep, exercise on board, the needle barely moves, level up. Sometimes therapy is solid, but the environment wins. Notifications all night, roommates gaming, parents at war, relentless stress. Intensive programs add structure, peer accountability, and family systems work that an individual hour can't. Co-occurring conditions matter. Untreated ADHD, anxiety, depression, or trauma can fuel compulsive use. Specialized programs align treatments, not just stack them. Think sails pointing the same direction. Relapse patterns that are fast and severe are another signal. If a client white knuckles for days, then binges 10 hours, misses work, and lies to their partner, that's not a motivation problem. That's a loop needing supports. Groups, daily check-ins, concrete guardrails like scheduled device downtime, app monitors, and family agreements. Escalate when life roles are breaking. If phone use risks school or work, absences, probation, major assignments missed, or tears up relationships, a higher level of care buys time and structure to stabilize. For adolescents, the threshold is lower. If a teen's phone use ties to sleep loss, dropping grades, social withdrawal, and family blow-ups, group-based or intensive care with caregiver coaching often makes the difference. Families need tools, not lectures. How do you bring this up without shame? Try, if willpower were enough, this would already be solved. It's not a willpower problem, it's a setup problem. We're changing the setup. Then, here's what we tried. Here's what moved. Here's what didn't. Here's what your data shows. Here's why a more structured program is the right next step. And keep the door open. You're not being sent away. I'm staying in your corner, coordinating care, meeting during the transition, and stepping back down together when ready. With families, clarity helps. I'll say, we're not blaming you. We're recruiting you. Your role is a calm, predictable environment, consistent sleep, device rules that adults follow too, and a plan for conflict that doesn't turn into a courtroom. I outline what information will be shared, get consent, and define boundaries. Privacy isn't the enemy of safety. It's the container that keeps teens engaged. A quick word on YVES insurance. There's no neat diagnosis for smartphone addiction. Document real harms, impaired sleep, academic or job risk, safety concerns like distracted driving, and co-occurring conditions. Specialized programs know how to frame medical necessity around function and risk, not screen time totals. What about clients who resist escalation? Normalize up before it's needed. From session one, describe care as a ladder we move up and down. Not a verdict, but tool. For many, a short sprint in an intensive program is the bridge, permission to believe change is possible. Back to Jordan. Once we named the pattern and leveled up to a tech-focused intensive program, three things shifted fast. Sweep, no late-night loops. Anxiety dropped by half. Social support, sitting with others facing the same pull cut shame and boosted skills. Family structure, clear device rules at home and calmer conflict repair. She didn't become a different person. She became herself with scaffolding. Before we wrap, here's a simple game plan. Start with data, not debate. Pull 2 weeks of logs and pick the one or two behaviors causing most harm. Define success in real life, sleep, safety, school work, relationships. Set the 8 to 10 week expectation on day one. If the needle isn't moving, we step up. That's not failure, that's fit. Run a safety check every high risk session. Direct questions beat guesswork. When you escalate, stay connected, coordinate, hand off warmly, and plan the step down before the step up begins. Remember, this is educational, not medical advice. Follow local laws and ethics, especially around safety and reporting. In the U.S., 988 is there for acute crises. For suspected exploitation, contact appropriate authorities, including Child Protection or the National Cyber Tip Line. If you take one thing, take this. Escalation isn't a last resort. It's part of ethical, effective care. It's how we honor that a phone can be a lifeline or a liability. And sometimes the difference is the level of support around it. For deeper protocols, placement criteria, and documentation language. See the written guide. You don't need all that to start. Start with one client, one safety check, one clear expectation about stepping up when it matters. That's the quiet moment where therapy turns into transformation. Thanks for listening. And here's to doing this work with clarity, courage, and compassion.